unbelievable. I mean, it doesn't, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you in this league. We got to get back to work, see if we can get better before we play these guys on Saturday.
We're on the air at 3:40, the tip at 4 here on 96.1 WSBT tomorrow. Hockey, Blackhawks against Colorado and Chicago tonight. Red Wings at home against Minnesota.
This is your home for Westwood One's coverage of March Madness. 96.1 WSBT, South Bend. This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
On Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT.
I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
The Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
What do you mean? Of course martial arts training is relevant.
Now your hosts.
Let me save you some time. Get comfortable.
WSBT Radio's Sean Steyer.
Let's get started.
And former Irish quarterback, Evan Sharpley.
Hey, stay sharp.
There is no Evan Sharpley today, so instead we have brought in Mr. 45%, Tom Noy.
It's not Sean and Sharpley today. It's Sean and the Scribe. How about that?
All right. Sean and the
Sitting
Scribe.
Sitting in.
At Four Winds Casino, South Bend. Glad to have you out here today.
Speaking of my 45% from the three-point line, played Wednesday night.
Did you top that?
I had a walk-off three for the
Ooh,
winner. From just inside half court. I'm like, I got to get home. I got to get home and watch the Duke Carolina game.
Are these floating cocktails going around?
Not for me.
Is that?
That's for him. I think they're for Bob Henning, our producer.
Oh, okay. All right. Those look tasty, though.
So I had the walk-off three.
Here we are.
I had the walk-off three. I had to leave early because I had to get home and watch Duke Carolina. And I turned Duke Carolina on. I'm like, wait a minute. Where's Zion Williamson? Little did we know what happened.
What do we have here?
This is called an easy living. It's cranberry juice and orange juice.
An easy living. Cranberry juice and orange juice.
Thank you.
That hits the spot. Thank you very much. That is tasty. What's that? No, this is good right here. Thank you very much. Easy living. Thank you, man.
We are living easy right now.
That's right.
There are worse ways to spend your lunch hour than to sit here and talk about sports.
One of the fine hostesses from Four Winds Casino, they were just walking around with a tray of drinks, and I said, man, those look tasty. And they are. Well, glad to have you out here with us. We are at Four Winds Casino, South Bend. It is Friday. And, of course, this is Sean and Sharpley and the Leprechaun Lunch, or today, Sean and the Scribe and the Leprechaun Lunch out here at Four Winds. We're giving away the green baseball caps, and the first 30 to come through the door. We are right in the main entryway in the atrium to Four Winds Casino South Bend. First 30, get a free baseball cap. Also, you can sign up while you're out here for a chance to win the DeWalt portable radio. We'll be doing a drawing and giving away at the end of the show.
You'll be doing the drawing.
Well, I might make somebody else do the
All
drink.
All right.
This is a virgin drink, by the way.
Good.
So that's probably even better.
Yes.
Or we might spill a lot of beans in today's show.
Wait, that wasn't off the record? We weren't talking off the record about Notre Dame basketball?
That's Oops. Right. All right. Well, we've got a lot to
Yes,
get
we
to.
Do. We got a bullet big
As
show
always,
today.
I know. And I mean, it's like I always do this with Evan, too. It's We don't go into a whole lot of detail. We just kind of plop some topics down and we talk about them. And I tend to pack more topics than we have time. But, I mean, I think that's always a little bit better anyway. So.
Hey, I've been in your seat in hosting this show, and it's always like you always panic that you're not going to have enough to talk about.
That's exactly
And then
it.
You always have too much.
That's
so
exactly
it's always good to go that route than to say, boy, we got 10 more minutes to kill. What are we going to talk about?
Yep. Of course, Tom is Notre Dame Insider at ndinsider.com in the South Bend Tribune. You were at the women's basketball game last night. We'll get to that in a minute, and also some men's basketball conversation. But I wanted to mention real quickly something Carter Carls had at ndinsider.com this morning. Jack Kaiser, the Notre Dame football freshman, Indiana Mr. Football from this past season, according to Carter's report, he is expected to miss spring practice after having shoulder surgery for a torn labrum. He is expected to be 100% in the fall. And I guess what happened, he gets here, he undergoes a physical exam that was prompted by Notre Dame's medical staff. And during that exam, it turns out that he has a tear of his left labrum, his shoulder. And so had the MRI, he's got labrum, and now he's had to have surgery, so he's going to miss the spring.
Not a big loss because right. he's a freshman. He probably wasn't going to play this year. If he did, he probably would have played on special teams.
Right.
So just to get that head start in the spring, that's going to set him back maybe a little bit. But better to get that done now than to go through the entire spring practice saying, boy, my shoulder doesn't feel right or something wrong with it, and then have his 2019 season wiped out.
Well, yeah, and that's that the only upside, because that's when I was looking at this, I'm like, man, he enrolls early and now he's got to have surgery. But the upside being, one, you're still going to be ahead of your academics because you're going to get a semester ahead plus whatever he takes this summer. Two, you begin the recovery process. And it was sounding like, even though he was most likely going to work out at Rover, I think this spring, it sounds like he probably wasn't going to play, like you said, unless it was special teams. And if it was only special teams, you wouldn't expect that he was going to see that much anyway. So now he's supposed to be able to be healthy and at least practice this fall. And so he'll get it all out of the way and hopefully be healthy for next spring when he's potentially maybe battling for some playing time for 2020, I guess it would.
Just go on the 5-year plan.
Yep, there you go. That's it right there. So Jack Kaiser to have shoulder surgery, according to the report from IndyInsider.com and Carter Carl's 2018 Indiana Mr. Football winner, a two-way player for Pioneer. Okay, so now you were at the women's basketball game last night. They beat Duke 89-61. But, of course, the story of the game last night was less the result and more what happened on the floor during the game.
The only story.
That's
because
right.
You knew what they were going to win. Like, if they're playing a home game against an ACC opponent other than Louisville, it's going to be a 30-point game. And they were up 30 at that point. They were up 30 at one point last night against Duke. But Arike Ogunbowale becomes the all-time leading scorer in Notre Dame women's basketball history with her 12 points. She almost got 12 points in, like, the first 5 minutes of the game.
Sounded like it.
Like, it was quick. So it was something where we needed to be there. It was a 7 o'clock game, so we're writing on deadline. I needed my column to be in by 9 o'clock, so it's like, Arike, help us out.
Get
just,
it done.
Just don't go and get 11 points or something, or get 10. She gets it done early, breaks Skylar Diggins' all-time scoring record at the University of Notre Dame, and she's number one.
And from your IndyInsider.com column last night, she scored the bucket with 8:49 left in the second quarter. She ended up with 25 points, one of three in double figures last night. Got about a 20-second standing ovation. And then heading into the night, this is interesting. Heading into the night, Ogunbowale had attempted 167 more shots and scored 162 more points than the next closest teammate in those categories.
She's a volume shooter. I haven't covered much of her career. I have, obviously, the last couple of years as a columnist of the South Bend Tribune. But when you watch her play, she's the definition of a scorer. Like, she's just a flat-out scorer. Somebody that Mike Bray would like to have this year.
That's exactly right.
But she just goes and she just gets buckets. Yeah. Like, she'll take the ball. She can shoot it from all three levels. She's on the break. She's lethal on the break. So, yeah, it's just something where she's a scorer and she's always been a scorer, and now she's the top scorer in school history.
And it's interesting. She was more pure scorer, I think, her first 2 years. She's dished it out a little bit more the last couple of years. 114 assists, second on the team in that department, the current team. But this is a record, as you write, Tom, that is probably going to stand for a long time. She hit her current point total by scoring 398 points as a freshman, and the four-player freshman class right now has a combined 157 going into last night's
How
game.
About that stat, huh?
Man,
that's a nice stat.
That's big time.
If you're going to go for 2,000 points as a college player, you better get started from the jump.
Yeah.
Like, it's really hard for anybody to not score 2-3, pushing 300 or pushing 400 points as a freshman. Because, man, then you've got some serious work if you're going to get to 2,000 in your last three seasons.
Absolutely. So congratulations to Arike Ogunbowale, Notre Dame's career scoring leader now, 2,371 career points with more to come. And Skylar Diggins now second on the all-time list, 2,357. I've got a feeling in a few years we're going to see another number join the rafters there.
Ring of Honor.
That's right.
I don't know what else to say.
Well, big picture, though, for Notre Dame, they've won 57 consecutive home conference games. That streak goes back 7 years now.
Back to the Big East days.
Yeah, that's right. And tied with Louisville atop the ACC standings because Miami lost to Virginia Tech
last night.
An upset there. And Notre Dame would potentially have the number one seed in the ACC tournament due to their head-to-head win over the Cardinals. And they're also, they remain in contention now coming down the stretch to get back at one of those number one seeds in the NCAA tournament.
And it's key to get to number one seed just from a fan standpoint because obviously they're going to play their first two round games at home at Purcell Pavilion, the first and second rounds. But if you're a number one seed and you can kind of work the pieces around the women's basketball puzzle, get to a number one seed, how do you do that? Win the ACC tournament. If they can win the ACC tournament, I think they're a number one seed. That's important because the number one seed then, in all likelihood, goes to Wintrust Arena in Chicago
to play
the regionals.
Really good point.
And you're an hour and a half away from home to try to get back to the Final Four. If you don't get to the number one seed, then you're going to Greensboro, or you know who knows what's going to happen. Where you might have to play Oregon, you might have to play Connecticut, you might have to play Baylor. So it's important. Forget what happens in a regular season. They may wind up tying for the ACC regular season championship, which is fine. But the key is, can they get to Greensboro and win the ACC tournament to get that one of those four number one seeds?
One seed or two seed, potential big matchup in the ACC again with Louisville. That'd be a lot of fun.
It's weird because everybody thinks it's going to be Notre Dame and Louisville in the ACC tournament, but
it's, you know,
watch out for Miami.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden everybody's talking. I hear all the talk of women's basketball saying, oh, it's so wide open and all these teams can score and watch out for this team and watch out for that team. And then North Carolina State's ranked 10th in the country, and they lose by like 40 to Notre Dame.
Exactly.
So I pumped the brakes on this is a wide-open tournament. I still think
it's probably top 6 or 8,
maybe 6 teams can wind up cutting down the nets in Tampa in April. But I wouldn't go any further than maybe a top 6.
All right, so the women win last night and keep right on trucking. The men, on the other hand, another story.
Not trucking.
Earlier this week, no.
The women keep on trucking.
It's the opposite of trucking.
The women keep on trucking, and the men keep on getting trucked.
Yeah, that's unfortunately.
Run over in the ACC. Like, and just when you thought it couldn't get any worse for the Notre Dame men's basketball team.
It does.
It does.
Yep.
On Tuesday. And I was sitting there because somebody was under the weather, so I was sitting there with Darren on Monday saying, if there was any game this year right now with this Notre Dame men's basketball team that you would say that's a win, it would have been Wake Forest.
Should have been it.
And look what happened.
Wake Forest at home.
I mean,
and that's what I said to Darren on Tuesday, or I guess that would have been Wednesday, because I had a Mishawaka game
Tuesday night,
so I wasn't there, but I recorded it and went back and watched the whole thing. The only blessing to that is you can get through a game in about 45, 50 minutes when you get through the commercials and you can zip through the free throws a little bit.
I did record it. I record all of them, whether I'm there or not, but I recorded it. I couldn't bring myself to go back and look at it.
Like, have you, and I've noticed this will get us off track a little bit.
That's all right.
They had a Mooney cam. And
I didn't see that, but a lot of people that said they saw that, it bothered them.
It bothered me, too, it's like, do we really need to? I mean, John Mooney's a good player and all that, but do we need that going on what, about a third of the screen when we're trying to watch
the whole game continuous?
On the other side?
It was a continuous camera?
They would kind of go off and on. But, yeah, they would leave it up there for a good 30 seconds to a minute, I think, at times.
It's an interesting idea, but I think it's about 6 weeks too late.
Yeah.
Because John Mooney right now, I think, is running on fumes, and I kind of feared that would happen because they leaned on him so much in January when they were still trying to figure out all the other pieces, and here's John Mooney going for 18 and 13 and 19 and 16. You're thinking, man, by February he might get worn down, and I think he's getting worn down to the point where teams are saying, hey, we've got to account for John Mooney a little bit more. So it's been a struggle for him the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, so the Irish fall 75-68, and just what you were saying, when you look at how they played, there was so much encouragement after seeing them at number 4 Virginia last weekend, and you're thinking, man, okay, they're starting to show something if they can keep that going. And it's not like They played horribly against Wake Forest. They shot 45%. Wake Forest shot 49%, though. There was just not enough defense, I guess, for either team. So what did you see, Tom? What went wrong from your standpoint?
Well, it was encouraging that when they were down by 9 with like 5 minutes to play, they were able to get it back even with about 2:56 to play. It was 66 all. And then you're thinking, any other Notre Dame team, they're going to figure their way out, especially against Wake Forest, because Wake Forest was 2-10 in the league. They hadn't won a league road game all season long. They're young. Were Darren's favorite buzzword. They're young, even younger than Notre Dame. I think 3 of their top 5 scorers are freshmen. And you're thinking, once they got to 66 all, Wake Forest isn't going to make the plays that needed to be made. And when plays needed to be made down the stretch, getting a 50-50 ball, getting a rebound, getting a stop, making a shot, just making any sort of a play, it was all Wake Forest that did that. And it's something where and Mike Bray said it best after the game, where he keeps waiting for his guys to kind of take the third step. The first step was the previous week. They beat Georgia Tech at home. That was a good step. The second step was challenging Virginia for 40 minutes on the road. Yeah, you weren't going to win that game, and we said that as much on the air here, saying if they could hold it to under double figures, that would be a win. That was a win.
Mission accomplished, yeah.
So that was their second step, and Mike Bray's thinking, okay, we've got some confidence. We won at home. We challenged Virginia on the road. We've got some confidence. We can come home, play Wake Forest, play a bad team on our home court, maybe get some momentum to vault us into what's coming with 3 straight ranked teams, Virginia Tech, Florida State, Louisville, back-to-back-to-back. Let's get some momentum against Wake Forest. And they just can't seem to sustain anything. And Mike Bray said he even sees it in practice. Like, they can never get 3 or 4 good steps in a row. For whatever reason, they're always backtracking. And now they backtrack, and honestly, it's something where you're just looking. If there was an hourglass right there, you're just waiting for the sand to run out of the hourglass. They've got 5 games left, and let's get through those 5 games and just shut this thing down.
Look, and I know you mentioned the buzzword young, and Wake Forest, if you want to look at them, they're younger. But, I mean, we can all agree that there's a reason that you have prospect rankings, mm-hmm. right? Because Chandre Brown, ranked number 33 in the ESPN 100 coming into this year. Jalen Horde, ranked number 2, and those are 2 of their top scorers. They had another guy last year. So, I mean, to me, I look at that team, and granted, this is the ACC and all. Danny Manning can recruit, but they have a different level of athleticism over there right now. And to me, it's more an indictment on his coaching ability, because I think Wake should be better than what they are.
Well, the 2 buzzwords that Mike Bray used a lot during his post-game presser on Tuesday were athleticism and individuals. And they've got some athletes. Like, Danny Manning may not know how to figure it out coaching wise, but Wake Forest has some dudes.
Yeah,
like,
they do.
That if something breaks down, give them the ball and let them go, and they'll go make a play, mm-hmm. with their athleticism and their individual athleticism. Where if something breaks down for Notre Dame, guys are kind of looking around. Okay, yeah. What do we do? And then you're left with a Prentice Hub bailout shot at the end of a shot clock. So it's something where Mike Bray looks at this team, and let's face it, he's got to take some responsibility to where this program is right now and why they're not winning some of these games that they're winning, or not challenging, or not being competitive against the top half of the league. Like, we're sitting here on February 22nd. And Notre Dame has not beaten a team in the ACC with a winning record. They've beaten Boston College twice and Georgia Tech, and yeah. That's it. And this is just such a non-Notre Dame team. Like, you seriously have to go all the way back to John McLeod's last years with Notre Dame when they were in the Big East, when you're sitting here and thinking, they just have no chance of winning a basketball game. It's just, I mean, the reasons for that, I mean, we could spend all month just trying to dissect why the pieces don't fit. You lose this guy, you lose that guy, a couple of guys transfer out, and all of a sudden, it's just something where they don't understand, even against a bad Wake Forest team, they don't understand how to win a close game. Like, Mike was talking about that the other night. I said, he goes, we just can't get over that last hurdle. I said, is that a hurdle you'll just never be able to get over this year? And he's like, you know what, we're going to keep trying, but Right now.
Who knows at this point?
Right now, you don't see it. Given what's coming, you have Virginia Tech, ranked team, Florida State, ranked team, Louisville, ranked team. The Florida State and Louisville games are on the road. Notre Dame's won one road game all year. The writing's on the wall. You know what's coming.
It's Boston College.
Yeah, against a bad Boston College team.
Yeah. I mean, they've obviously been in it with some of these teams that are at their level, but they haven't been able to push over the hump, as we saw. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a timeout right now. When we come back, we're going to go through Notre Dame's roster, since you are more intimately familiar with it than maybe any.
As I look to find the roster on the notes
or
page.
As intimately. and I just want to kind of go through, and we'll look at each of these guys, because it became pretty obvious pretty early that this team is more about next year and what's going to happen next year, because now you've got all these guys back. They're all going to be experienced.
But so, is that good news or is that bad news?
Well, that's a question. And we're going to look at each guy. What do they need to do to take it up next year? What do they need to do for next year?
Let's just put a blanket statement. Play better. There. See, we're done with the segment.
Boom.
Let's go to a commercial. We'll figure out what else we're going to talk about.
And then something else we're going to talk about in a little bit. We'll talk about the Zion Williamson thing and everything that's buzzed around with that. Boy, it doesn't take long. One guy gets hurt a little bit, and the whole system just needs to be blown up, right?
Let's just blow up college athletics because some guy just happened to just step wrong on his shoe.
Went down awkwardly.
Like, it's not like he was in traffic and three guys hammered him and he fell to the ground. He was making a cut, which he probably does thousands of times.
That's right. And also next week, of course, Indiana High School sectionals begin. I know you and Darren touched on it a little bit earlier when I was out, but Vince and I did something I thought that was kind of cool, a little thing yesterday. We contacted a lot of area high school coaches and asked them about the high school buzz topic right now, seating.
Seed the sectionals. You got to seed the sectionals.
Should sectionals be seated? And so we polled dozens of high school coaches, and I'll give you the results of that poll, and then we can kind of touch on some thoughts on that as well.
If we have any.
We might have some. We will have some. So we are at Four Winds Casino, South Bend, right inside the entryway, the atrium, and the main entrance to Four Winds Casino, South Bend. We'll be back out here in a couple of weeks as well, but you can stop by today for another 38 minutes and get a free green baseball cap and sign up for your chance to win that. There are no more free baseball caps. All the baseball caps are gone, but you can sign up for your chance to win. I didn't even look to my right. It's like there's no green over there anymore. So you can still sign up to win the DeWalt portable radio that we're going to be giving away at the end of the show. So make sure and come out. It's your chance to win instant credit and some cold hard cash this Sunday at Four Winds Casino South Bend in the Supercharged Sunday drawing. February 24th, drawing start at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Winners every hour until 9 o'clock Sunday night. Win big at Four Winds Casino South Bend. Your entertainment escape. You can visit fourwindscasino.com for more details. We will take a timeout, and then the 45% Scribe and I will be back.
You love that 45%.
Tom Noy from the South Bend Tribune. Sean Steyer's Leprechaun Lunch, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Back live at Four Winds Casino, South Bend.
Is this your walk-up music?
That's right.
A little Milli Vanilli?
Cult of Personality.
There you go. No, what? Living Color.
Living Color, Color. That's right. Milli Vanilli.
Ah.
I heard the Milli Vanilli song on the radio over the weekend, and I'm thinking, why do they still even say it's Milli Vanilli since
it's a fake?
They didn't even sing it.
We'll go with a little Cult of Personality on a Friday,
lip-syncing.
Though.
That's right. He's Tom Noy, South Bend Tribune, Notre Dame Insider, IndyInsider.com. I'm Sean Steyers. We're back live at Four Winds Casino, South Bend. Stop out for another 30 minutes. Sign up for a chance to win the DeWalt portable radio. Will be given away at the end of the show at 1 o'clock today. Always excited to be out here at Four Winds. This is right up your alley. Slam dunk at Kankakee Grill at Four Winds. Enjoying all the NCAA basketball games and selection of local craft beers each weekend. Grab your friends, pull up a chair, cheer on your favorite team at the Kankakee Grill Bar. Evan and I did a couple of our first shows out here in there. Great place to be your entertainment escape.
Might have to come back for the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
I'll have some time. I'll have some free time.
Don't think you'll be traveling.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be covering the NCAA tournament this season.
You know, last year, Tom, it was amazing that without Bonzi Colson for most of the year and without Matt Farrell for big chunks of the year, Notre Dame still, through all that it went through,
they were in.
They were the last team out. Yeah, they were in.
They were
in. If not for the Davidson.
Davidson,
upset.
Rhode Island.
Yep.
Fiasco on a Sunday. They were in on Sunday. They were in the bracket at 8-10, and I kept thinking there was no way that they obviously took into account that Bonzi Colson's injury, because they really didn't do much to get. They won Maui, but that was so early. They didn't play well against Michigan State, and 8-10 in the league. But that seems like it was a lifetime ago.
It absolutely does, and we all knew that when you lose Farrell, you lose Colson. We knew how young.
You lose D.J. Harvey. Don't forget, you lost D.J. Harvey for 17 games, too.
That's true. And he's been back this year. How would you assess what we've seen from him this year? How close to 100% do you think he is after the microfracture knee surgery?
Maybe a C+. Maybe he's 80%. Just in the last couple of games, really the Georgia Tech game, I want to say, at home, he looked like he was the D.J. Harvey that people had come to expect. 18.7 rebounds. It was something where we talk a lot about the rock bottoms of this team. I think he hit rock bottom when Notre Dame won at Boston College on February 2nd. And he didn't play much. I think he only played 21 minutes. He was 1-7 from the field, was down. Notre Dame made its run in the second half with D.J. Harvey on the bench. And he was a guy that I think the coaching staff needed to get with, specifically Ryan Humphrey. Got with D.J. Harvey and said, look, don't hang everything you do on your shot. If you're not scoring, if you're not getting looks, get on the backboard. Be active. You know, do some other things other than just try to score. And I think the light bulb finally came on for D.J. Harvey in talking with Ryan Humphrey. He's been better on the backboard. He's been more comfortable or consistent or just calm in saying, I'm going to get my time and not, or I'm going to get my shots, I'm going to get my minutes. So it's just something where, again, though, with this team, whether it's D.J. Harvey or one of the freshmen or whoever, it's just like so many small steps that they're taking. I think the big leaps with all these guys will have to come springtime, summer, early fall, to where we see them next year and say, wow, they're different. They're better.
So that's what I want to do now. I want to go through this when you talk about spring, summer, fall, because all these guys are going to be back. You'll add Rex Pfluger, who's obviously been out this year. So when you look at DJ, what does he need to do? What does he need to be next year?
Maybe just become and a lot of the there'll be a lot of common themes through the roster because there's a lot of similar problems. But I think with DJ Harvey, it's just become more mature as a basketball player. Like he's had his ups and downs this year, but that's to be expected because we mentioned he missed 17 games last season. So he's really a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
This is really the first time that he's going through, okay, how do I get my shots? Am I going to get my minutes? What's my role? Where do I fit? So I think just from an overall maturity standpoint, just growing up a little bit more in the offseason, saying, all right, I can relax. I've been there. I've been a main guy. Now let me take my game to the next level.
Who on this team, we've got all these different freshmen, and rather than going guy by guy with all of them, this team obviously lacks that Vistoria, VJ, that spot-up guy who's just going to be out there and get that shot for you. Who of this crew could be that guy next year?
Nate Leshefsky.
And I think that's kind of what you're expecting more of this year, right?
Yeah, but you just look at it, and it's almost like every time he gets a ball, he treats it like it's going to blow up in his hands. He does. Like he's got to get rid of it quick. His feet don't get set. He's not shooting with his shoulders square.
Just a little too antsy.
I got to hurry up and again. When you're in this, everybody says, well, you know, he did this in high school and he did that in high school. Look, you're playing in the best league in the country. You're playing Carolina and Duke and Virginia and NC State. You got dudes left and right coming at you where everybody can play. And I think it's hard for kids who have it easy or relatively easy in high school once they step into the ACC and they're like, there are no weak links. And that's really something that's kind of knocked Nate Leshefsky back to where just get in the gym. I think the training staff believes they can get him up to like 230, 235 next year. he should be one of the best shooters in the ACC when everything's said and done with him in the next 3 years.
Well, and I mean, we've overdone the young thing to death, and I mean, we know they are, but it's just like when you look at last year's team and most Mike Bray teams, the freshmen, there might be one or two guys who are typically part of the rotation. DJ Harvey was the only guy last year. He was there sometimes. There were times he wasn't, and then obviously he got injured. But when you've got four of these guys at the same time, now three, but when you've got all that out there together, it's just a cume effect, and I think we kind of take that for granted.
You had five freshmen in the class. Now, a couple of them, obviously, Robbie Carmody's out with the injury.
Right.
Chris Doherty really hasn't played.
That's what I'm saying. Now it's three.
But you had five freshmen that never played ACC basketball. You had Juwan Durham, who was a transfer, who really never played college basketball. So there's six new guys. You had DJ Harvey that we mentioned, missed 17 games last year. Those are seven guys that, okay, forget young as we know it as in age. Okay, these guys aren't young anymore technically because they played 26 games. But from a maturity standpoint, they're young. Like they're still kind of immature to where, and Mike Bray mentioned it the other night, like Nate Leshefsky and Dane Goodwin have been given every opportunity to succeed. They haven't been able to take advantage of it. And I think the other night, Mike Bray saw it really for the first time in both of them. They kind of hung their heads because their game, they just can't get their games in gear. And that's what young guys do. Not necessarily young in age, but young in maturity in college basketball to say, look, I've just got to fight my way through this. I know I'm a good basketball player, and I just got to keep doing what I'm doing because eventually it's going to swing back my way, and I'm going to be a good player on this team.
Well, that's why Mike Bray's program, the way he runs it, staying old, his catchphrase, I mean, it's the exception to college basketball, but that's how he's been able to do it. And typically, again, because there's only one or two freshmen on any given year where they're essentially able to be an understudy, and they're able to they've got the long haul to figure out their role, to figure out what they're supposed to do and all these different things. But when you've got three of them out there at the same time and four previously before the Carmody injury, it's just a lot different situation when you're flung into that as opposed to being able to ease into it and find it as you go.
And who's at the top? Like, we're talking a lot about the freshmen, but who's at the top end of the classes to where, look, last year, Bonzi Colson, Matt Farrell, Martin Gebben, who did not get nearly enough credit to what he did on and off the floor last year for this basketball team. You had those three guys. You had Austin Torres. You had Matt Gregory, who was a walk-on and got a scholarship last year. Didn't play much, but was a locker room guy. Matt Gregory and Austin Torres, when Farrell and Colson were kind of in their own worlds going through their injuries, they were there to hold the locker room together and say, all right, guys, this is they're pulling the young guys along. And that's how they were able to get to 8-10. You look at it this year, who's pulling the young guys? Like, who's helping Nate Leshefsky, Dane Goodwin, Prentice Hubb to an extent? There's not a lot of options.
Right.
Like, you don't have any senior. You don't have any active senior. Okay, the entire senior class is wiped out. Two of them transferred, Matt Ryan and Elijah Burns, and Rex Pfluger is down with an injury. So where is the senior? Where's the old guy when things get tight to say, look, I got you guys? T.J. Gibbs, first year as a captain, really not cut out for that role right now. John Mooney thrown into the captain's role in December after Elijah Burns left. He wasn't ready to be a captain. Like, he started off strong in December and January, but then now he's to the point where maybe he's getting worn down, kind of thinking about his game. Who's going to help pull him along? So it's like everybody wants to say this is the reason or that's the reason that they're 13-13 and they're 3-10 and the pieces don't fit, but everything that Mike Bray has been about in his 19 years at Notre Dame has been totally wiped off the board as far as, like you said, staying old. You don't have old guys. And if you don't have old guys in this league, you're going to be 3-10.
And again, when you look at the fact that you've got two guys who should be seniors on this team in Ryan and Burns, yep. I mean, that makes a big difference as well. I mean, Matt Ryan last year would have seen so much time had he not decided to leave.
And that's an epidemic from college basketball to where guys want everything right now. Had Matt Ryan left for one reason only. He saw DJ Harvey coming in and said, he's going to take my spot. I'm not going to come off the bench.
Rather than staying and competing
for it. Yeah, stay and compete. And even if he didn't start, Harvey goes down, Farrell goes down, Colson goes down. Matt Farrell would have averaged 18 points a game last year. He might have averaged 20 this year. Instead, he goes to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, the wheels have come off there. They're winless in the SEC. He may be getting a lot of shots, but he's not doing much else. But it's just something where if Matt Ryan would have stayed, and look, there was no way Matt Ryan could have stayed because he had one foot out the door in Buffalo at the end of that season when they went to the NCAA tournament. But it's something where when those guys leave, like Mike Bray builds his program on guys staying. He expects guys to stay. He makes Elijah Burns a captain because he thinks he's going to be there. Like, look, Elijah Burns is not going to be a double-double machine, but just having a senior and having a guy that's been there, that really means something in this program.
You talk to these guys quite a bit, obviously, and obviously you talk to Mike Bray quite a bit as well. Is that an upfront conversation he has with most of these guys when they're out there recruiting them about the, you know, playing time?
Oh,
be
yeah.
patient. I mean, I think it is.
Yeah,
but.
And they know. And see, now this is – they know that if you go to Notre Dame, you may not play the first couple of years. You may reg, some guys may go on the five-year plan, but on the back end, they know that they're never going to leave the floor mm-hmm. as juniors and seniors. And you work your career like you work your college career up to where when you're a junior and senior, man, I'm going to be a main guy. I'm going to get my shots. I'm going to get my minutes. Everything's going to fall into place. Like Mike Bray's taking a beating right now in the fact that they don't have anybody coming in next year as a freshman. How in the world can this team go to the Elite Eight 2 years in a row and not have any recruits coming in for next year? Well, they must. The fans that are upset about Mike Bray's recruiting must have missed a press conference back in November where he said every single prospect's home that he went into, other than the top 10 guys that they were or the five-star guys that they were involved in, every single prospect looks at him and says, Coach, I want to play as a freshman. Can you guarantee that I'm going to play as a freshman?
Right.
And he looks at that class and he says, I'll tell you what. I signed five guys last year that will be sophomores when you arrived. And I've got a sixth guy that came in as a transfer that has 2 years of eligibility left. Honestly, I can't show you the playing time that you want if you want to come to our program. So it's not.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You can't promise the world and then they get here and. Because then it's an even worse situation,
right? You can't make that an indictment on Mike Bray and say, well, he's not capitalized on the two Elite Eights. Well, he has capitalized. He brought in his best class last year, and the way of the college basketball world, you just don't bring in five guys 1 year and bring in five more the next and expect that to all fit. We see how it fits now. Six new guys, way too many. They're trying to figure it all out, and it's just something where this is just a season where, like I've said before, get through these five games and just shut it down and then start over in the summer with a fresh look.
So when I look at Prentice Hub, there are a few different things I see, but one of them seems like a guy who needs to be pretty up close and personal with Tony Rolinski, the strength guy.
Really? That's what you see?
What do you think? Is that his biggest thing? What do you think needs to be his biggest objective heading to next season?
Maybe become more of a distributor of the basketball, like try to get your other guys involved. Like he out of all the freshmen, and Mike Bray has said this a lot the last couple of weeks, out of all the freshmen, Prentice Hub has been a guy that has kind of said, all right, I get this. I get everything that's going on. I understand what the way of the world is in ACC basketball. Like, he's ranked maybe sixth. He's in the top 10. He's in the top 10 for assist to turnover ratio in the ACC in the toughest league in the country. What more do you want out of the guy? Like he gets killed on Twitter, especially in my mentions during games of he can't shoot. He should never have been recruited. Look, he missed his senior year of basketball. He had a career high 10 assists against Wake Forest. Yeah, he may take the occasional bad shot. But at this point, that's what you live with. But Prentice Hub, out of all the new guys, you have to be impressed with what he's done this year. Because I'm impressed.
I agree.
For a guy that didn't play last year and to be thrown in there, like you're the starting guard. You got to come play. You got to come start and get us into all our sets and stuff. I think he's done pretty well.
Juwan Durham.
He's a hard guy to try to figure out because he was rolling before he hurt his ankle.
Before he got hurt, yeah.
Like we always talk about, I always joke with Darren, and whenever I bring it up, I apologize to Darren. I say, look at what Juwan Durham did against Illinois, where he's blocking everything, he's running up and down the court, he's dunking, he's rolling to the hoop. Even the Purdue game, where this team was whole, people forget that they beat Purdue in Indianapolis. Like that, they look like an NCAA tournament team with all those pieces.
Yeah.
Rex Pfluger was doing what he was able to do. 10 assists, might have been his best career game as overall game at Notre Dame. Juwan Durham's rolling to the hoop. He's finishing with dunks. Like, that's what Juwan could do. But then he gets hurt, and once he gets hurt, then the confidence wanes. You know, he's not really – he's unsure of himself. He's trying to get back into the lineup, but the ankles still bother me. How do I play through pain? Does my ankle hurt enough to where I have to sit or I have to play? So it's just something where he just needs experience. And maybe these five games, and Mike Bray talked about it earlier this week, maybe these five games are the games where you just turn Juwan Durham loose and say, I don't care the mistakes you make or the plays you don't make, you have to play at least 25, 30 minutes a game to get some experience.
For anyone who doubts whether or not the light bulb can go on for one or multiple of these young guys, all you got to do is look at John Mooney, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we didn't see anything close to what we're seeing from John Mooney his first 2 years here, and he's averaging a double-double still.
He was going to be a good player. He was going to be a needed guy when he was a junior, but I don't think anybody in the program, especially outside the program, I don't think anybody saw John Mooney leading the ACC in rebounding as a junior. And leading the ACC in double-doubles the way he has this season. So I don't think you can ask for much more. And he'll continue to grow his game. He'll come back next year even more confident. The fact that he's a senior, he'll be a captain, he'll be an all-league preseason type of guy, maybe even a first-team preseason guy. So it's something where that's the guy that right now Mike Bray can hold up with the rest of the guys and say, he didn't play much as a junior or as a freshman. He got better as a sophomore. Junior year, bang, he was ready to have a bigger role. Why can't these guys do the same thing?
Lunch is here, so we'll take a timeout.
We'll be on a break.
That's right. We'll also hit some of the Zion Williamson stuff, and we're going to get into that high school coach poll that Vince and I did. We asked dozens of area high school coaches, should Indiana sectionals be seeded? Of course, with sectionals starting next week and the top two teams in the Penn sectional, Riley and Penn, going head-to-head.
In the open.
Round of one. So we will do that when we return at Four Winds Casino, where you can experience the buffet at Four Winds, $21 prime rib dinner and $15 lunch offerings Thursday through Sunday. We'll do that when we return right in the atrium of Four Winds South Bend on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Sharply in the Leprechaun Lunch. Tom Noy in for Mr. Sharply today. The Scribe.
Yes, sir.
From the South Bend Tribune and IndyInsider.com. Coming to you live from Four Winds Casino. Our final segment here with you for about another 10 minutes or so on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Always great to be out here at Four Winds, and we will be back out in a couple of weeks. Spring Fever is coming up, getting ready for a chance to win at Four Winds and the $25,000 Spring Fever drawings Friday, March 8th. Win big cash and gift card giveaways from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit Four Winds Casino South Bend, your entertainment escape. So I want to get to this. We were talking about with the sectionals coming out next week and all the controversy about seating. Vince D'Addario and I yesterday, we did this in the second hour of Sports Beat, and we spent the better part of yesterday getting a hold of as many coaches as we could.
Flooding the area.
That's right. Getting the response to this question. Should Indiana seed its sectionals? And we talked to coaches from all different sports because obviously it's a blind draw regardless of what sport you're in. And their options to respond to the question, should Indiana seed sectionals? Yes, seed them all. Yes, but only the top two teams. Keep the current system. Or we gave them a chance to other, basically, and explain what your other is. And we got a couple of those. But so here's the response. 45% said keep it as it is.
Of course.
31% said seed the top two teams. 17% said seed it all. And so that was for all sports. And so then I broke it down into two more subcategories. For basketball coaches only, 63% said keep it as is. 18% said seed the top two. 9% said seed it all the way through. Football coaches, 41% said keep it as is. 33% seed the top two. 25% said seed it all the way through.
You know what conclusion I draw from that?
What do you
people
draw from
don't
that?
Like change.
No, and I mean
they just refuse to change.
Yeah, and you know, we gave all the coaches anonymity and we got a lot of great responses. That was the best part. We got a lot of comments as well. We said feel free to respond. They didn't have to, but virtually everyone, with just a few exceptions, responded. And there were some really good responses. And one just quick observation that I got was coaches from programs that are traditionally winning year in and year out, competing for your conference championship or a chance to go on, those are the ones who want to seed it because it suits them.
It does.
More. Coaches from average to below average teams like the blind draw because it potentially gives them a better chance to get matched up with an equal team in the first round and maybe win a game or two in advance. And that's what, again, when I look at the comments, a coach from an average program said, keep it the same. It gives an average team a chance to survive in advance in a blind draw. A coach from a better team said, the regular season means nothing unless you win your conference. You should have something to play for all year. He wants to seed the whole thing.
It's just... I understand the not seeding or the seeding situation, but it's just disappointing. Maybe disappointing is a little strong, but it's disappointing to look at the draw and say on the opening night of postseason,
right?
Either Riley or Penn are going home.
Yeah.
Like I get the fact that they're eventually going to have to beat one another if they want to advance. But it's opening night.
Like, you don't put one versus two in the NCAA tournament right off
like,
the bat.
And you don't play a Final Four matchup in the NCAA tournament or in any tournament. You don't play a Final Four type of matchup or a championship type of matchup in the opening round. Like part of postseason is, number one, it's postseason. It's like it's their second season, obviously. But part of it also is looking forward to the anticipation of what two really good teams are going to play on Saturday night in the sectional. And to have the two best teams in that sectional play on opening night, that kind of devalues Saturday. Like, you get to Saturday and, yeah, great, Adams or whoever may or
well, that's why, as a compromise, it seems like seeding the top two teams.
Right.
Because then you at least make sure that you're separating them. And granted, now one coach said that it's not always clear-cut who the one and two are. Most of the time, I think
you
it is.
You kind of know.
Because it's sectionals. It's not like you're broad where it's someone from here versus Indianapolis. It's you've got a body of work where you've played everybody for the most part. It's not that really difficult, I don't think.
And I look at it from a journalist standpoint. What's the best story? What would be the best story of a sectional championship? Now, it would be great if Clay could get to the champion, can get to a championship, but people really aren't interested in the early rounds to where once Clay gets to the champion, say Clay wins their side of the bracket, they get to the championship, and they're playing either Penn or Riley, and they get beat by 35.
Right.
Is that a better story than having Penn and Riley when they played their first game of the season, when they played early in the season in a regular season game? It came down to the final seconds.
Yeah.
What would you rather have, that type of a game for a sectional championship, than a game where Clay wins or Team X or Y upsets a couple of teams early, gets to the sectional championship, and then loses by 32?
But this is the reason when you see these results, again, 45% of all sports polled said keep it the same, 63% of basketball coaches, 41% of football coaches, they keep it the same because essentially everyone's fighting for their own interests. It's just like politics. It's not going to change because I talked to a football coach who said this has been proposed. They proposed a two-year experimental period. Just do it for 2 years, seed it, and see how it works at their Indiana Football Coaches Association convention. They couldn't even get it passed there because, again, everyone wants to do their own thing. And if they can't pass it there, they can't take it to the state.
Yeah, it'll never get any traction for that. And it's disappointing because I want to see Penn Riley play for a sectional championship.
Yeah, and I think we'd all like to see the best teams. And even if it's not, you would rather see if a top team is going to lose early, you'd rather see it to an underdog and then see
right.
what that underdog
see
can
what
do
the underdog
after that.
Does. You don't want the two heavyweights fighting on opening night.
Right. All right, well, we've got to wrap up.
Again, we're done?
We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. Thanks again for the food, and thanks to
Are you thanking me for the food?
Well, more the Four Winds crew. But
I'm going to go back and eat my food.
We'll be back out here. Make sure and come by Sunday for those drawings, starting at 4 o'clock Eastern and every hour until 9 o'clock. They're going to be giving away cash and prizes out here at Four Winds. For Bob Henning, our engineer, Garrett Kazer back in the studio, and Mr. 45% Tom Noy from the South Bend Tribune. I'll never give that up now.
Never give it up.
All right. WSBT South Bend.